You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Fairly impressive performance, I think, Kurt, in the soybean pit today, given what we saw this morning. And futures were definitely on the defensive, and they managed to claw their way back and finish in positive territory in a few contracts, like the July 13 double digits.
Yeah, we saw some renewed buying interest as we went through the day there. So like you mentioned, there saw a follow-through selling from Friday's reversal down. But as the day wore on, we saw news of a little drier forecast for the parts of Brazil. Also, we heard talk of maybe a little bit more bean business to Asia. Then lastly, tomorrow's supply-demand balance sheet expected to be a little tighter than in November. November showed 140 million bushel bean carryout. Ideas are with the aggressive export pace we've seen here that they may tighten the carryout estimate up to 130 million metric tons. Not super tight, but the idea that things could be a little tighter as we move down the road gave the market some enthusiasm. Funds bought an estimated 5,000 contracts of beans going into midday. Then we saw quite a bit of popularity of the bean-corn spread with beans, the potential positive commodity here versus the corn due to a little bit of a little slower export demand for corn.
And the corn ends up at the bottom of its channel, the three-month-plus channel that's been going sideways.
Yeah, we need to find some support here in this March corn as we approach this 720 area. Mole momentum indicators have been down hard here for the last week and a half. We're starting to get down to levels that warrant some short covering. It's just a question when or where. But until we can shake off this bearish export news, it's going to be awful hard to get something big going. On tomorrow, you know, the trade's kind of dialed in a little bit bigger corn estimate. Slow export inspections, you know, indicate that the exports just aren't there. We saw that we only shipped out about 7.8 million bushels of corn. We're running about 50% of a year ago, and ideas are the export number can be a little smaller. However, though, we look for that miscellaneous category feed usage to absorb a little bit of that, so we don't see a great big increase in corn carryout numbers tomorrow.
So potentially U.S. ending stocks might go up. When you look at the world corn production picture, might we see that USDA makes adjustment in Argentina and we see world production for corn go down a little?
Yeah, that could be a highlight number tomorrow. You know, I remember, though, the Chinese corn numbers going to remain you know, somewhat big. A year ago, we saw Argentine corn production at 21 million metric tons. Last month, they were 28. So it's got some room to come down, basically due to their adverse weather pattern. They were sort of counting for a decent Argentine crop to sort of help satisfy the needs here as we go into this spring.
So this spreading, buying the soybeans, selling the corn, do you think this will be a feature on the balance of the week?
It'll probably change come tomorrow after we see what the numbers show. But right now, that is the popular stance to have right now. That is the trend until we see some demand pick up in corn. It's probably going to be the main feature. Also, too, when you visit with producers, you know, we're finding that they're not willing to be a seller right now, but yet, too, the end user's not willing to be a buyer. When you look at who needs what, it seems that most of the end users are fairly well satisfied where they're at and have coverage going into this late winter, early springtime window.
And if there are needs, it looks like quick shipments are still available from Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good observation. On the world scale, we're going to see end user pretty well push the pencil, see which is the best option to go with. They don't have a huge amount of supply to work with. We're about the only ones got a big supply to work with on the larger scale. So we'll see what develops here as we move through the early winter months.
So if the trade is shocked by a number in WASD tomorrow, what number likely would it be?
Well, I don't know if there's one they could really shock anyone with. It would be a shock if they would just harvest the acres with everyone waiting to see what the numbers are on the January report. That would be a shock if that would come out earlier. Otherwise, on the domestic supply-demand balance sheet, it's just going to be a balancing act. They're going to subtract from one category and add to another category. I don't believe there's going to be a big change at all looking at the domestic numbers.
Well, look, is there any reason why USDA and NASS couldn't move those numbers in November? I mean, harvest has been well over for a while.
It could very well. You know, their track record's been to be a slow mover. They're under a great deal of pressure to get it right. You think with today's technology, you'd be able to see those numbers or have those numbers at a push of a button, but I guess we're just not there yet, Dave.
Turn your attention to the wheat market. What are you seeing there?
Some profit-taking, unwinding of the long wheat, short bean spread, same as like we saw in the corn in there. A little bit of a slowdown in near-term demand. The bearish break kind of kicked in through here, but it's kind of wait and see as we move through the winter here. We're continuing to wear out the news. It's dry out west, and we know that, but from a long-term perspective, we'll see how many times we dip below zero and see how bad the wheat crops get nixed this winter on winter kill.
Is soft red winter wheat undervalued?
Well, that's a tough one there. I think soft red winter wheat is going for a ride with hard red winter wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the production concerns is out west. We've got ample acreage here in the east. And I think it's going to be probably the weaker link, but it's still got potential if the western wheat belt gets hammered pretty hard this winter.
After we dust off and move beyond the WASD report tomorrow, what will be the features of the balance of the week fundamentally?
Well, we'll see if we see some renewed world interest. Last go-around on the price break, Egypt stepped up and bought some U.S. wheat. So we'll see who comes forward to get some coverage on. The report's going to continue to indicate a little tighter world wheat situation than what we've been accustomed to over the last 25 to 30 years.
And before we let you go, we have to get your thought on the fiscal cliff. It does appear we're still at impasse. If we're at impasse and go over the side, what does it mean for commodities?
Well, I think commodities probably getting a little wore out just trying to trade which way the wind's blowing from. I think it's pretty well safe to say they're going to wait till the very last minute to come to an agreement. And why the American public puts up with that, I have no idea.
Thank you, Kurt.
Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.